This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:41 on the evening edition. You are with Kelvin, Hezril, and Cam. And we're now zooming in on Malaysia's medical tourism industry. This year, our healthcare system was recognized at the Medical Travel Awards 2020. Malaysia, we won the Health and Medical Tourism Destination of the Year Award. It's the fourth time we've won this prize.
And that's right. And in the last 2 years, Malaysia received the most medical tourists in the world, 900,000 in 2018 and 1.3 million in 2019. In fact, the industry was the third largest contributor to our GDP. During that time, most patients were from Southeast Asia, and they came here to be treated primarily for cancer and cardiovascular diseases.
Well, with anything tourism and travel related, COVID-19 has obviously slowed it down, and the industry only really expects to welcome 300,000 patients this year. Also, the Malaysia Healthcare Tourism Council had set a target revenue of 2 billion ringgit in total among our hospitals this year, but they've lowered that goal now to 500 million ringgit.
Some of the numbers you just mentioned there, Hezril, sound very big, very impressive. I'm not entirely sure. I'm reading other figures that, Malaysia is a major medical tourism destination and there is room for immense growth. But I think the real heavyweight in the region and indeed in the world is Singapore. We're right next to Singapore, but whereas Singapore is extremely expensive, Malaysia is really benefiting from cashing in, terrible thing to say when it comes to medical tourism. Tier two cities in Indonesia. Indonesia has, every day, its middle class is getting bigger and bigger. The middle class is larger already than the entire population of Malaysia. And the Indonesians make, I think, the largest single nationality coming to as medical tourists to Malaysia. And the room for growth is yet bigger.
Yeah, and on that note, you can let us know if you agree with Cam's statement. Do you think there's potential for the medical tourism industry here in Malaysia? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to get some insights and zoom in with Shireen Azli, CEO of the Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council. So stay tuned for that here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:46 on the evening edition with Hezril, Kelvin, and Cam. We're zooming in on the potential of the medical tourism sector here in Malaysia. And to weigh in, we're now headed to Shireen Azli, CEO of the Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council. Shireen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show, gentlemen.
Pleasure to have you here. First off, could you help walk us through what medical tourism looks like in Malaysia?
Okay, medical tourism for Malaysia, it was relatively unknown in the last 10 years. So we were more like a hidden jewel of Asia and now has grown to be the world healthcare marvel. So Malaysia now is known as a world healthcare marvel. So last year, in 2019, we welcomed about 1.3 million medical travelers into the country, and that brought about 1.7 billion ringgit revenue to our private hospitals, and that contributed to about 7 billion ringgit to the Malaysian economy. In terms of tourism receipts, we were looking at about 10% contribution to overall tourism receipts into the country. So if you look into where we were in 2019, we were actually the number one destination by volume in the world. So if you, and that's by the global market report produced by Lang Buisson of the UK. So technically, we have risen from the hidden jewel of Asia into the number one medical travel destination in the world.
Who makes up most of these tourists?
If you look into the 1.3 million, about more than half of them coming from Indonesia. So, I mean, naturally, because, you know, our borders, they're our neighboring country. So, technically, we have more than half of them coming from Indonesia. The second most arrivals will be coming from China, India, and then after that, we have Southeast Asia as our catchment areas. Also, in the top 10 arrivals would be from developed countries like the US, the UK, Australia, and as well as Japan and Korea. And so,
And could you give us an idea of what kind of treatments are people coming for? What are the most popular?
If you're talking about Indonesians, they would come for everything, you know, from the simplest of the health screening, for example, until to the most complex, like oncology or cardiology treatments. But actually, it depends on the profile of the patients and also where they're from. For example, if you're looking at China as a second top arrival into Malaysia, they come for mostly fertility treatment, because you know, Malaysia now is being positioned as the fertility hub of Asia, because we have amongst the highest success rate in our fertility treatments in the world. So we do have a lot of arrivals from China for fertility treatments.
Right, and how did we get here? How did our country become a renowned destination for medical tourism?
I think, if you look into the overall global pattern, if I can say, right, you know, of course, when you look into going anywhere from any medical treatment, number one would be the quality as the number one factor, right? So you need to have the world-class quality that everyone would be attracted to and feel confident about and trust. Trusted provider. Like, for example, if they don't trust, I mean, if I don't trust my doctor, I wouldn't even go to him, kind of thing. So world-class quality and a trusted provider has always been the number one factor. And then one of the things that a lot of developed countries don't have is the immediate access to this healthcare, this world-class quality healthcare. For example, if you want to see our specialist, you know, you can actually call our providers and make an appointment in the morning, and you might be able to see them immediately, if not maybe in the afternoon or the day after. So it's almost real time if you want to access our private healthcare facilities and our specialists and our doctors. And I think one key factor would be also the affordability, you know. So if you can have the best world-class services, etc., but if it's not accessible and it's not affordable, then it's not something that, you know, the general public could reach out to. So technically, if you look into Malaysia and Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council and the Malaysia Healthcare in general, we believe in healthcare being a right to every citizen. It's not just a privilege. So, but unfortunately, many countries in the world, especially in this region, they do not have that right. So, you know, so they do come from Malaysia so that they know that they can get the best world-class quality, immediately accessible and affordable. So these are the three factors. And then the additional factors, or how would I say, the hygiene factors, would be the fact that we are multilingual. So, you know, we speak Bahasa Indonesia, we can have, you know, people speaking Mandarin, we have people speaking Cantonese, and also, you know, almost everyone speaks English. So that's also giving the comfort to all our medical travellers that they are getting the best care when communication is not a barrier. And add to that, we are a global halal hub. So there are multiple factors, but the top three would be the quality, accessibility, and affordability.
So help me understand how medical and health tourism contributes to our economy in the sense that, you know, how does it feed the other industries that we have here, right? Health obviously benefits from this. The doctors do, the hospitals do. And it also probably is the same case for aviation as well, but where else does it feed and where else does the money travel to?
So one of the things, you know, if you look into the research that has been done, just looking at tourism, for example, right, medical tourism actually contributes among the highest per head spending in Malaysia. For example, you know, I mean, we've done, let's say, a comparison from a Chinese traveller or Chinese tourist, right? A normal Chinese tourist will spend about roughly about 500 ringgit per night in terms of their, on average, in terms of the spending. Our study that we have done, a medical traveller could spend up to 2,700 ringgit per night stay in Malaysia. That's comparing from China. And normally medical tourism, the medical travelers, they come for a long lengthy stay, you know, like for a long stay. If they come for, even for fertility, they will need to go through different treatments, etc. It will extend from 1 month, one week to perhaps 3 months. And sometimes they want to stay until they give birth. So that's like a prolonged stay. And never that we have seen a medical traveler travel alone. You know, so they always come with companions or at least one companion. You know, so that's that's what is contributing to the economy. And in our study, we have seen that 1 ringgit contributed to the hospital actually generates an equivalent of 4 ringgit to the rest of the economy. To give you a bit more feel, if you look into the last 10 years, you know, since MSTC was formed, we were formed in 2009, so we had our 10-year report card, last year. Last year, 2019, we saw about 15,000 jobs being created directly from medical travel. And you're talking about 10 billion investment into the economy. And in terms of resulting impact, is at about 10% of the contribution to tourism receipts. And taking into account the fact that tourism contributes about 15% to our overall GDP, so that's quite significant.
So it seems that the International Medical Travel Journal has recognised that Malaysia has the best public and private sector partnerships. So are there areas where the public-private partnership ecosystems are working well? I mean, what does that look like?
Okay, like one of the things that I think you know that we won the award last night in London for the Medical Travel Destination of the Year for Malaysia, and also Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council itself won as the Health and Medical Tourism Cluster of the Year. And both these awards we have won 4 times since 2015. So that's one recognition, because one of the things that they tend to see is that Malaysia has this unique model of having an agency that looks after this industry in place in the government. So Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council is under the Ministry of Health Malaysia, and we are looking into the promotion and the facilitation and the development of the medical travel industry, which is 100% for the private sector. So that kind of public-private partnership is very strong in terms of positioning and developing Malaysia to be where it is now as a number one medical travel destination. And what Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council does as well is that we look into the facilitation of the industry. Basically, can you just imagine that if you don't have a good product, what do we have to promote? What do we have to sell, right? So then when we look into the facilitating the product or developing the best product, a reality is that, you know, even though we have public and private dichotomous system in Malaysia for healthcare, we are actually working together, because we are the private healthcare is regulated under the Ministry of Health, and so a lot of collaborative efforts have to be put together to enable the growth of medical tourism. But in a more recent case, where we are looking into how we are handling the crisis for COVID, for example, the main responsibility and the main activities are handled by the public sector. But the private also contributed, you know, for example, in terms of releasing their ventilators. We look into how we can enable the, take some of the patients so that our public hospitals can handle COVID cases, etc. So there are a lot of potential to develop there. Another one that we might be looking in the future is how we can look into collaborative efforts to reduce costs for healthcare overall. Maybe we're looking at how we can share resources between public and private. And all this is going to be benefiting the Malaysians in general when we can have that collaborations continue developing within this to public and private sectors within the healthcare system.
Right. And just briefly on this, you touched on the pandemic. How has the industry, how has it been impacted, and what's your outlook in the immediate term? Can we expect tourists to return perhaps once borders are open?
Okay. So, after the growing about 17% year on year for the last 5 years, for medical travel. This year, we were expecting about 20% growth for 2020. We were targeting 2 billion ringgit revenue for the hospitals, 10 billion ringgit contributions to the economy, and all was, you know, well and you know, all set out for Malaysia Year of Healthcare Travel 2020. Then COVID hit. So we are now looking at about 70% reduction. So realistically, we are looking at about 500 million revenue for the hospitals and perhaps maximum 2 billion ringgit contribution to the economy. And that's actually quite a big impact. But we're still better off than other parts of tourism, which technically we don't see the tourists coming in. And for us, what we have done is that to enable an earlier opening for medical travellers, we have developed what we call the SOP for medical travel bubble to open. So alhamdulillah, we saw we got approved, the SOP with the strict protocols got approved by the National Securities Council, and we have opened the medical travel bubble since the 1st of July. So we have very strict protocols to follow. So medical tourism has written, medical tourists have returned into Malaysia, and we have started, you know, enlarging the bubble step by step. You know, we have phase 1A, 1B, phase 2, phase 2A, 2B, so that, you know, we can start welcoming them, but we must keep Malaysia safe. You know, so that's why the priority is, you know, keep our we gradually open our borders for medical travelers, but we must ensure that Malaysia's interest is protected and there's no risk to the Malaysians in general. So alhamdulillah, that also has worked. And in terms of returning tourists, we are hoping for immediate sooner than later recovery of COVID, and we are hoping for a rebound. But right, to ensure, yeah, so we hope that will happen soon. And we are doing a campaign, what we call Malaysia, the world's healthcare marvel now, to keep Malaysia top of mind. And when the rebound happens, people will remember Malaysia as the number one medical travel for them to come over and get treatment for.
With that, Shireen, thanks so much for speaking with us this evening.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You just heard Shireen Azli, CEO of the Malaysian Healthcare Travel Council, speaking to us about the medical tourism industry in Malaysia. We've got the 7 o'clock news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.